You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. We've got a very special episode tonight, an exciting episode. We're here with Ed Kay of the Saints, one of the first punk rock groups. But I don't even know if the Saints call themselves punk rock. We'll find out in a second, but we're going to play a song and be back with Ed. This is Nights in Venice off the brand new, extremely cool Saints box set. In America, it's coming out on In the Red, but I think it's coming out in other labels and across the world. The box set is super rad. It's got I'm Stranded, the original version, I'm Stranded, the alternate mix, some live stuff, three live sets, which is really rad. So this is Nights in Venice. We'll be right back. Every time that she speaks to, oh no. And we are back. Ed, thanks for coming on the show. I'm real excited that you're here. This is going to be real cool.
Yeah, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
You know, Ed, I kind of alluded to it at the first is, you know, the Saints, I believe, formed in 1973, kind of before what we think of as the start of punk. So, I mean, did the Saints, do the Saints think of themselves as a punk rock band, or is it kind of like the Stranglers where they were around before punk and sort of coalesced with that scene?
Yeah, I think the benefit that the punk explosion in the UK had for us is that we got attention. You know, we'd recorded a single, which probably would have just, you know, sunk without a trace in a lot of ways. And I sent copies to the UK press and some to the US press that I knew of. And we got a really fantastic review. You know, single of this week and every week. There were like 3 weeks in a row, I think, where Sounds magazine kind of ran the single as the single of the week, and at the end of it, the single of the year. If that hadn't have happened, if there wasn't something happening in either London or New York, or you know, the kind of the music centres at that time, it's unlikely that we would have gone on to do three LPs, sort of thing. I think, as far as being part of the punk scene, you know, I didn't really feel part of it. We didn't call ourselves a punk band. We called ourselves a rock and roll band. It was a much more open, much more inclusive, and of what we were doing. It's just broader in its definition, I think, you know. I mean, maybe we were a punk band, but we didn't call ourselves.
When you guys started, what was influencing you? What were you listening to? Or maybe you just started with no influence. Like when you started the Saints, were you like, we want to be like the Stooges, or we want to be like Chuck Berry, or was it just kind of out of the blue and there was nothing that really prompted the Saints?
Well, in my case, I think I'd sort of been interested in music since I was about 8 years old. You know, I heard the Beatles on the radio and I loved it. You know, I heard Love Me Do, and it was just this strange sort of minor sort of blues kind of scale, which wasn't something that you'd sort of hear much in popular music at that time. You know, like I knew the music that my mum and dad listened to, and I liked a lot of that. You know, like when I was really young, it was always great mum singing along to the radio. So I kind of, you know, have a an earlier sort of background in quite conventional sort of mainstream country music, you know, like Jim Reeves and that sort of stuff. But it was hearing the Beatles when I was eight, and then from there on, I just wanted to be a band. You know, I had no idea about forming a band. I just sort of took it upon myself to sort of, you know. Anyway, I did that for a little while. By the time the Saints happened in 73, we were originally called Kid Galahad and the Eternals, and then changed that a year later because it was always too hard to fit on our handbills. But the Funhouse by the Stooges was a really pivotal album for me because I heard that in 1971, a bit before the band started, and that kind of opened. I knew nothing about the band. I bought the album because it got a really shitty review in a local music paper, which basically said, you know, this is. People are too hip to want to hear this kind of raucous rubbish these days. And I don't know, something about that kind of connected. And I bought it and I loved it, you know. And it reopened a door, I think, to earlier music that I'd heard as a kid and really liked, you know, like the Rolling Stones. And, you know, when you listen to those singles that you were hearing on the radio, a lot of that stuff was pretty wild and adventurous. And so there were a lot of influences, you know, like I'd been into music for as long as I could remember. I don't know about the other people in the band. I mean, I was generally the person that would say, listen to this record, you know, Chris didn't sort of really submit. He did actually play me T-Rex Electric Warrior, which I liked, but generally there were, wasn't that much of an exchange. It was sort of a bit of a, this is a great record, listen to this kind of thing. It was a number of things, but never did any of us want to be another band, but we would, be influenced by stuff. And the 50s rock and roll stuff, that's where the Chuck, funny that you sort of mentioned the Chuck Berry thing, because one of the things that I kind of didn't consciously spot on Funhouse, but there's so much Chuck Berry on that record, all the phrasing. And I think 1970 started it in when they were jamming on You Can't Catch Me by Chuck Berry or something like that. So it's great, there's this evolution and it kind of all just connected. And but the thing that was great about Funhouse was that it made you feel like you could do it. And I don't mean that in a sort of disparaging way, because people often say, oh, they see a band and anyone could do this, I could do this. The Stooges never struck me as anyone could do this, but it showed a path as to how to kind of, get a band going kind of thing. There was something both really fundamentally primitive and organic about that record, and yet melodic and sort of like nothing else, even though it was, it just draws on so much other music, but it is its own event. And yeah, so yeah, we had our influences, I think the New York Dolls were sort of, we kind of, I think, or I did anyway, sort of saw them as contemporaries. Yeah, but influences, tons of influences.
Well, maybe that's why I like the Saints so much. Ed, Damon, the Rolling Stones, my favorite band of all time. The New York Dolls, my favorite band of all time. T-Rex, a band I love. Ed, what's interesting is you mentioned both you got good reviews with the first single, and you also mentioned how with Funhouse it got bad reviews, so it prompted you to check out the record. I'm curious, as a solo musician, in the Aints, in the Saints, do you care about reviews? Do you read reviews? Do they affect you? Or are you like, listen, I'm Ed of the Saints. There's nothing a reviewer can tell me that would affect me whatsoever. You know what I mean?
I used to be affected by reviews more than I am now. I do read them, not quite as nervously as I used to, but do they affect me? I don't know. Reviews are funny things, like if a reviewer actually picks on something that is an obvious flaw that deep within yourself as the artist is a flaw, then I guess you either acknowledge that or whatever. But I mean, like as far as reviews of the Saints, and I mean the Saints after the first single, we got almost exclusively bad reviews for the second and third album. I mean, they were just, the wasn't anything that was particularly positive about them. That did affect me at the time. Now I kind of just think not much about it at all.
And we're going to talk about the box set and the tour in a second, and but actually I'm going to jump back in time a little bit, and then we'll talk about the box set and the tour. Is what's interesting about Ed, or one of the many things that are interesting about Ed, is I look at, people think of AC/DC as the archetypal Australian band, but they're Scottish. People look at Men at Work as the archetypal 80s Australian band, but Colin Hay is Scottish. Ed, I believe you were born in Germany. Did that affect your, I guess, cultural understanding or your musical background, or was that not really a thing? You know what I mean? Because the Saints, of course,
Oh,
are like, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
yeah, no, go keep going.
I know the Saints don't necessarily embrace the term punk or push it away, but like the Saints are like the Australian punk band, So I'm curious, but Ed was born in Germany. I'm curious how that affected you.
Chris was born in Kenya of
Oh.
Irish parents. I've always born of Welsh parents. There's a lot of migrants in Australia. Did it affect Yeah, look, it had. I couldn't speak English when I started school. That was sort of a drag, you know. That was difficult to deal with. Yeah, no, I, you know, my parents spoke German at home. Yeah, so there was a sort of a, you know, I mean, we didn't fit into the neighborhood completely. You know, there was sort of a barrier at the property boundary kind
Okay,
of. Yeah, but what sort of, I mean, did that influence me musically? I have no idea. I got to hear probably more German music than other kids did when they grew up. I'm not sure if that influenced me all that much, even though I like some of it. You know, the Don Cossack Choir singing Christmas carols in German is a beautiful experience. Yeah, that's it.
Just a quick question. Apropos of almost nothing, but another one of my favorite bands is the Slits, and Ari up of the Slits, her dad was Frank Foster, a German Schlager singer. I'm just is the name Frank Foster or like, does that mean anything to you, or is that just some guy, you
No,
know?
I did. I didn't know that. I did share a car with Ari and her mum Nora
Oh,
on the same
tell me about that real
swing.
quick.
Ari was like 15 or something, and she was having an argument with her mum. I don't remember what it was about. Something about not being allowed to go out.
So anyways, the Saints have this very cool box set coming out. It's not out, it's coming out in America in August. There was a CD version, but it's already sold out and I could hang myself. But the vinyl version is still available. I will say very reasonably priced for a 4 LP box set. One of the most interesting things about it is it's got I'm Stranded, but an alternate unreleased 1976 mix. Was that mix made in 1976 or is that a new mix or where did that
No,
come from?
that was the original mix. Rod Coe, who was the EMI house producer, who was kind of sent in to supervise our recording. The album was recorded in a weekend. We'd recorded the two tracks on the single about 6 months earlier, and so we recorded another nine tracks and did rough mixes of them. And it was initially meant to be a demo, and at the end of it, we just said to Rod, you know, it's we're not going to be able to do it any better, you know, which was I think a very, you know, mature, surprisingly mature appraisal. Anyway, so Rod took the master tapes back down to Sydney and did a mix. And that was then test pressings were printed up of that, and I heard it, and
Oh.
I didn't like it. You know, it was sort of, it was not the way the band sounded to me. It was too wide, the drums were too loud. There's a sort of a rhythmic thing that happens with the Saints where the guitar kind of has to take a certain volume, has to take up a lot of volume. Otherwise, I'm not happy with that. I mean, it just shift it just it made the band sound a little more conventional, I thought. You know, like it made us sound like a more polished kind of studio outfit than I thought we actually wanted to sound like at that time. Anyway, so we heard it, rejected it, and then Chris and I went down to Sydney a couple of weeks later and remixed it, and that's basically the album that came out and is still the, you know, the number one record in that box set. But when we were going through stuff, I listened to Rod's mixes, and I think we made the right artistic decision to remix it, but I think it's a really interesting document. It's really only for people that are hardcore fans, you know, like a lot of people really only want to hear exactly the mix that they've always known, sort of thing. So these are, you know, it's for the people that like this kind of thing. I think it sounds really good, and I'm glad that the tape survived.
One thing about, I mean, the guitars just rip on that record. So, like, Ed, do you feel like a legend? I mean, you have set the tone for so much music. Do you feel like a legend? Do you feel like, yeah, I'm like as bad as it gets? Or do you feel like I'm just another in the line of musicians? You know, and like if you ask Iggy Pop, for example, Iggy Pop will tell you that he's, you know, he's a bad dude. Like he's Iggy Pop, you know? So do you feel that way, or do you feel like, no, I'm just a musician and that's what came out? How do you feel?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I really got to say, I don't ever think about it. You know, I just assume that if people are talking to me, they know who I am. I don't usually tend to need feel the need to kind of, you know, reiterate that too much. Look, I think what we did was really good. I always loved that early stuff that the band did. And I know it was unique, you know. I know, you know, the band was a really great band. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, I don't, you know, Chris was a great singer. Ivor was a, you know, a very unique kind of drummer. And, you know, it just sort of all fitted together.
And speaking of live, the Saints are coming to the USA in November. I'll be there. They kick it off November 5 in LA, and they kind of jump from the West Coast to the East Coast, and I wind up in Washington, D.C. on the 16th of November. They play Philly the night before, and I'll be there in Brooklyn before that, in Toronto. Oh, they'll be in Canada, Chicago, Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco for a two-night shindig. It's going to be real cool. It's going to be Ed and Ivor, and they're going to be joined by Mark Arm of Mudhoney, Mick Harvey, and Peter Oxley. I know you talked about this a little bit before, but Mark Arm, why did you? I mean, honestly, I was surprised by that pick, but it makes a lot of sense, and I think it's going to be totally awesome. What I guess, why did you feel Mark Arm was appropriate to handle vocals on this tour? Or for the live shows.
Mark was suggested or sort of put up. We were looking for somebody to do the vocals, and a mutual friend suggested Mark. And I knew a little bit about him, and I did some research, you know. And I like the sound of his voice. I like the impression, like I didn't meet him before we started playing, so I liked the impression, the vibe he sort of gave off, I guess. But other things too, some of the things that I'd read that he'd said, and just his overall kind of, I think, musical knowledge of stuff that kind of occurred before punk. I was sort of, pardon me, choking it. I was very sort of keen to get somebody that could maybe approach it artistically from a similar sort of perspective that Chris did, which was sort of obviously pre-punk. Which, and so that kind of means there has to be sort of a familiarity with where everything kind of came from. And Mark seemed to express a sort of a fairly, you know, substantial sort of insight into that. You know, I mean, they both, Chris was a fan of Rob Tyner, Mark's a fan of Rob Tyner. You know, there's just sort of overlaps. And the other thing was that we weren't looking for somebody to imitate Chris's singing. You know, it had to kind of be, you know, it in a lot of ways, the same 73, 78 thing is a new thing. We're playing a lot of old songs, but you know, it's got a life of its own, which I think is good not to be just, you know, it's not a cabaret act, basically.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely excited for it. I got a few last questions for you, Ed. Here's a dumb question. Famously, I'm Stranded has I'm in parentheses. Why is I'm in parentheses? I've always wondered that.
You know, I was writing it down on a piece of paper and it just looked good.
Well said. You
Yeah.
also mentioned that there's a test press of the original mix, and the listeners can't see, but behind it, there is a pretty sweet looking vinyl collection. Ed, what are some, maybe one or two or three of the crown jewels in your record collection?
Oh, gee. You mean records that I really like or really valuable ones?
More ones that are special to you than the ones that are worth money. Ones that you say.
Yeah. Well, I think the records that I bought in 19 between about 1970 and about 1975, or maybe go up to 1976, before I started recording myself, records had a had an extra kind of level of magic and mystery about them. Once I actually started doing this stuff and I realized the way things work, but it was all a mystery to us. I mean, I had a mono cassette player that we would record our rehearsals on, but understanding the way the what you could do in the studio, etc., that was all beyond us. So those records that I bought in my teens, I think, probably represent the greatest portion of records that are really dear to me. There's lots of records that I bought after that, but I'd say, a big portion of them sort of come from that time. Records that really made an influence on me, just, and I in the most cases I still have those exact same copies. I just managed to sort of survive a whole lot of things. And I got the David Bowie record, The Man Who Sold the World, on in early 1971. That was a great record. It had the original, where he's dressed as a woman on the front cover, and it sold nothing in Australia. I think I must have been one of the only people that had that record. I came across about a dozen cutout copies, which I bought up. They're all about $1 each, and gave them to friends. It was sort of, and then a year or so too later, he got quite big with Ziggy Stardust. But this was sort of, a little bit before then. And that record I love. That Dr. Strangely Strange, Heavy Petting, an Irish sort of, I don't know, kind of folk, hippie folk band. Just, I don't like a lot of that stuff, but Dr. Strangely Strange is a really great record. Yeah, there's lots,
Well, good picks. That David Bowie record is kind of the kickoff of the legendary era. Sam, ma'am, I'm looking at Ed's record collection. I'm like, oh, they're probably all like Australian presses. And I'm like, ah. Oh. Anyway, so Ed's got to. Ed, second to last question, then I'll let you go. Do you still collect records, or are the records behind you what you've got today, and that's kind of the collection as is?
I don't tend to buy records that much these days. I don't have the time to listen to them. That I keep up to date, kind of. I'm not obsessive about it. I don't need to know whatever musical trends are going on. But I like to sort of, keep some contact. But no, I don't buy that many. Terrible salesman I am. I should be saying I'm always buying new records, and you should be too.
Well, listen, the listeners should be buying the new I'm Stranded box set. It's actually called the Saints 73 to 78 I'm Stranded box set. I love this record. It's got the original version remastered. It's got the Test Press alt mix, which is a really cool long lost gem or long lost artifact. It's got some other studio tracks, and it's got two live sets: Sydney 1977, London November 26, 1977, and it looks pretty rad. And so, Ed, anything else you want the listeners to know about? Oh, and also, of course, the Saints are playing USA November. Definitely go to that with Mark Arm. So that's going to be cool. And anything else you want the listeners to know or to check out, or
Yeah,
any closing comments?
I should take this moment to shamelessly plug the new record that I did with Jim White. It's called After the Flood. Check that out. It's on, it's released in the US by 12XU and Remote Control and other parts of the world. It's on your streaming services. That's a really good record to have a listen to. Buy that one too.
Actually, and After the Flood just recently came out, and also, like, I didn't even know this till a little while ago. Is that Saint Records is great. The Saints are an awesome band. Ed has a massive, massive solo discography, and also he's got, you know, he's got the Ants, which is one of his bands. So if you're a collector like me, if you're a deep diver like me, Ed literally has dozens of really cool records, including After the Flood, which shares the name of a Grateful Dead album, but we won't hold that against Ed. I'm sure it's rad. And Ed,
great Grateful Ed.
Ed, thanks for coming on. We're going to close this with maybe my favorite Saints track, which I feel has a little bit of that Rolling Stones Exile Main Street spark on it, Messing with the Kid. Ed, thanks again, and I will see you in November. Thanks for coming on the show.
A pleasure. Thank you all.
Cheers. Don't get none if they want. And we're back. And we got Sam looking stylish as always. Sam looking very stylish today. Sam, is there a motif for today's rad style, or is that just how you know? Is there a vision, or is it coincidence the style today?
This is my I work from home today attire, which means I rolled out of bed, put a t-shirt on, and this one is actually tie-dyed, so it looks like it's stained because I'm a slob apparently. Worked a 9-to-5, and then rolled back on the couch until I came here. So,
but you said that, Sam. But first of all, you've got very ornately detailed fingernails.
Oh,
you know.
Oh, they look cool.
Sam's got ska fingernails. She's got.
I have ska fingernails. You guys, make this a trend. It is ska fingernails. So viewers, you'll never see the ska fingernails unless you're friends with me on Instagram. But yeah, they're checkered ska fingernails.
Well, it's a
new thing.
Very cool. And we also are here with the stylish Em Moore, who every 4 months or so updates the world. And she's got, check out my new hair color. So, Em, what's going to be the next hair color, you think? Because it was green for a while. I think it was blue for a while. Now we got kind of a peach thing going. And do you match your eyeglasses match your hair right now? Is that by design or by coincidence?
Oh, that is pure coincidence. Yeah. When I first got these glasses, my hair was like bright red. So it matched. For the next one, I'm not sure. I want to do like rainbow hair because I think that would be cool, but they're not going to fade out properly.
Have you considered ska hair? Checkered ska hair?
Ooh. You know what? Yeah. Yes. Sam, I'm going to match your nails. I'm going to do ska hair.
Please
that
do.
That would look cool. I'm going to see if that's a possibility because that would be cool.
It is a possibility according to my Pinterest boards, okay? You can do it.
Well, tonight's going to be kind of a freestyle episode on the second half because we throw up some news stories. We haven't thrown up any news stories at all, but I got some to cover. But first, I'm going to do a slight diversion is I'm going to let everyone in on a secret. So when I first got into punk rock music, New York Dolls was one of the first CDs I got, and I didn't like it, and it sounded acoustic to me. You know what I mean? I'm like, this doesn't sound like good. It doesn't sound punk. It sounds acoustic. And I have no idea why that record sounded acoustic to me, because that's like one of the hardest rocking, most electric records ever. And then about, I don't know, 5 or 7 or 8 years later, I played it. I'm like, wow, this record is like literally the best record ever. Well, about 15 years ago, I got The Saints and I didn't like it. And then just before this podcast, I played The Saints and I'm like, holy shit, this album rips. So like I'm like, I don't know what I was hearing like 10 or 15 years ago, you know? But and then like literally about 45 minutes, I'm like, well, I guess I better listen to this record again before we do the interview. And I'm like, my God, this record's freaking awesome. Like wow. And the track Messing With The Kid is like, it's like almost a Rolling Stones track. It's freaking awesome. So anyway, thanks for coming on. That was a rad talk. So Sam, has there ever been a record that you hate it and then 10 years? See, this is why I'm always like scared to sell records that I don't like. I'm like, well, maybe I'll come back around again and love it. Sam, has there ever been a record that you hate it and then loved years later?
Yes.
What record?
So I was not into punk originally. I was into teeny bopping boy bands and pop because, you know, that's what you do when you live on Staten Island and want to be popular. And then you say F being popular, just be weird. So my boyfriend, now husband, Chris, you know, you guys know who he is, was playing Bouncing Souls Summer Vacation nonstop one summer. And I was like, why the heck are you playing this over and over and over and over? Yeah, so I kind of hated it for a while. And then for some strange reason, I think my ears started to turn or something. And something clicked because I started getting into like Paint It Black and No More Black. And then revisited Bouncing Souls again. And I was like, oh, because at that point, I think Anchors Away came out. And I was like, I love this. Went back, listened to everything else. And I was like, I really do love this album. Yeah, so please don't take away my punk points. I still need them, I think.
Well, I think admitting that you don't really care about the confines of punk is one of the most punkest things you can do. You know what I mean?
Well, I... True. Yes, I actually don't believe that, like, you can't listen to things outside of punk to be a punk, right? I was like, there's so many influences from everywhere that can lead to good music, or, you just have to be a curator of your, like, whatever, if you're making stuff of the music that you're putting out. Because at some point, everything just blurs together. I'm like, I don't even care about these like cross genre things anymore. If you confuse me about what genre you belong in, maybe that's a good thing.
M, has there been a record that you hated and then came back to and loved?
Ooh. There's been a few. I'm trying to think of one that's not like super embarrassing.
Well, just lean into the embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it
It's not really punk. I guess it's not really that embarrassing, but probably like all of Guns N' Roses catalog.
What, you used to
Well,
hate it, now you
actually
love it?
not all of their catalog. The EP with One in a Million is horrific, but that's besides the point. Well, I had like I hated like despised Guns N' Roses, and then after high school, I got really into Guns N' Roses for a good like 3 years, maybe. And it was like, this is my band. And now I'm like, they have some good songs, whatever. I've passed that point in my life, but that was definitely something that happened. There was an actual, I think the first time I heard ska, because it was so different than what I'd actually like Scott Hales than what I'd heard. So my first ska foray was Energy by Operation Ivy, and I was like, I don't know what to make of this. I'm not like a big fan of it, and then I was like, oh, that's fine, whatever, I'll come back to it. And then came back to it, and it just like clicked, and it was like, oh yeah, this is good, this is really really good. But yeah, John, what
See,
about you? Oh, sorry.
well, New York Dolls and the Saints just now.
Well, yeah.
See, I actually just was listening to Operation Ivy like last week. And I mean, I know that Operation Ivy is the iconic ska punk band, and same in that way. When I listen to Operation Ivy now, it doesn't even sound like ska to me. It just sounds like a punk band. I'm not like, oh, this is a ska band. Like, this is just a
Yeah.
rad punk band. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound that ska to me. You know what I mean?
Are you looking for more horns? Do you want horns?
Not in Operation Ivy. But actually, speaking of ska, let's jump into it. Cat Boy released a new track, and it does have horns
Yeah.
on it, I think. The new track is called
Yes.
Tired of Talk, and it's got Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy. And the
Woo.
band is calling it a ska song, but to me, it sounds like reggae, and it's freaking awesome. Neo-reggae. And there's a video that's animated by Sam Grinberg of The Simpsons. The new EP, Doomgarden, is out May 9. The track is called Tired of Talk, and I freaking love this song. M, did you listen to it? Sam, did you listen to it? And what do you think of Catbite?
I did listen to it and I really liked it. I thought it was great. I liked their first song, Die in Denver, but this one like tops it for
Yeah,
me.
this one's like a grand
This
slam, I
one's
think.
so good. Patrick Stump is in it. Man can sing. It's a good marriage. He used to be in ska bands, fun fact, before Fall Out Boy. And the video is so cool. Like, can you imagine like having that power where you can just like point to someone and then their mouth is gone and it's just like you don't have to listen to the stuff. But anyway, I'm glad the main character spared the cat.
You just like ruined it. Like I haven't watched it. I haven't heard
Oh
it.
no.
Yeah, so you just
It's a
ruined
lie.
it
There's no cat. It was a test.
for
It's actually a dog. And it's not a pet at all. It's
It's a rock. It's a pet
a
rock.
rock. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, no, the idea of the fact that you got someone from The Simpsons Adult Swim to animate this is pretty powerful, I think. Like, this is like a notable person, right? And they're like animating this video for you. and they're a punk band. Like, what connections do you know that you made this happen? Because this is pretty rad for me. I'm gonna eventually get to listening to it. I'm very ill prepared this week. I'm just letting you guys all know.
Well, here's another kind of crazy story, and this was submitted to us. There's a band in Ukraine called, well, actually, it's a person called D-Lav, and he released a single. The A-side is called, and I don't understand what he's trying to say, but I'm going to comment on this in a second. The A-side is called "My Russomycia Is Stored in My Tits," which I really don't know what that means. But the song is about how Putin is attacking Ukraine, and he lives in Ukraine, and how much Putin sucks. And the B side is even crazier. It's called "The Sounds of War," and it's literally a field recording that his dad did in Bakhmut, which is where Russia first or early invaded Ukraine. And it's literally like the sounds of like bombs, like literal bombs dropping and stuff. It's crazy. And so, anyways, I listened to the track. I think the track is pretty cool. I still don't understand the title, but you know, it's probably, I mean, I listen, the guy's from Ukraine. I can't blame him for not having great English or me not understanding what he's trying to say, because he's in literally a country that's being bombed. And not only is that country being bombed, our president seems to be okay with it and supporting the guy bombing, which is crazy. Anyways, I thought this whole thing is pretty much as punk as it gets, man. I think the song's kind of cool. I think the fact that he's releasing a song about how much Putin sucks in Ukraine while Ukraine's being bombed, and the B side is a field recording of a bombing, which is very crass. Like, I think that's very rad and extremely punk. I was surprised this didn't get much more traction than Punk News, actually.
Well, I also think maybe this could be like an art project.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
it almost can be like, possibly a political statement, who knows. I guess you might have to ask him to come to the Pop Punk News podcast to speak about it. I don't know. He might be game. I don't know.
You actually, we probably should have. That's a good idea. Here we go. So, Misa means hatred. So, it's "My hatred of Russia is stored in my tits." So, I understand
Oh.
half the title, but
Okay.
what's the other half of the title? You know what I mean? Like, does that make any sense to me? You
So
know?
he has tits to store
Fits of
these things?
rage.
Or
Yeah.
they? I don't know. I
Maybe we should have this guy on. And did you check this out at all?
saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. So I bookmarked it, but I haven't checked it out yet. To have one of the tracks be the sat like literal war sounds, like again, that's just it's really good because it's like, hey guys, you're paying attention to me and you're not looking away, and here it is, so that's really great. I think maybe the tits thing is like, if you're like angry, you feel like heavy in your chest. It's like you have tits filled with rage.
Tits are very heavy sometimes.
That sounds like a power violence or grindcore band, Tits of Rage.
Yes, I'm forming
So
it.
this is not related to any news story specifically, but it's going to be our last chance to talk about it. Scal's new record comes out next week.
Yes.
I didn't see a whole lot of people
Sure.
necessarily talking about the new stuff, so I'm like, well, maybe the fire isn't quite there. But on the other hand, Scal, it has been all over the covers of magazines. I've seen clips of them opening for, weirdly, like opening for Citizen, like way down on the list. I'm like, I thought Scal was bigger than that. But then apparently people are going crazy for them at the show. Sam B, is Scal going to become massive and huge? Are they going to stay where they're at? Or is this the end of the train? What do you think is going to happen? What do you want to happen? And what do you think is going to happen?
I would love for them to be massive and huge because I believe in them. I'm not sure if they're going to be a massive and huge because anything can happen to break up a band, right?
You have like inside info or
Yeah.
something? You know
No,
something?
I don't have inside info. I'm just saying at any possible moment, things could fizzle out as quickly as it's coming, A lot of bands, they get like their shot. And then it goes nowhere because something bad happens, right? Or a member changes and they're not as good or whatever. Yeah, like they're playing with like Citizens and stuff like that, but Citizen, would have to say they're, I guess, a legacy band for that wave of bands, you know?
Sure.
Like, how big is, like, if you ask me Citizen, I'd say they play like 300 people, but I guess that's totally wrong. How big is Citizen?
Citizen, so I've seen Citizen too many times because I'm so young at heart, even though I'm old.
And also, stop saying you're old, Sam. You are not old. If I'm not old, then you definitely are not old. So you're not old, Sam. Stop saying that.
I'm veering the 40. It is happening soon. But I would have to
No,
say that.
Sam, we are 26. Well, I'm 29, you're 26, Sam. That's how old we
Oh,
are.
jeez. But yeah, no. So Citizen's the band that keeps on getting like new fans, and they're younger fans. They're more like M's age fans. I saw them like a million years ago play inside a Fred Perry store
Oh
Oh my gosh.
to me and a whole bunch of 18-year-olds at the time. And I'm like looking around, I'm like, okay, I am the oldest person on this line right now. What is wrong with me? Why am I here? The last time I saw Citizen, it was for their, they did an anniversary for one of their albums. So I was like being nostalgic and crying as usual in the corner near the pit or in the corner. Don't touch me. But like literally, it was like a huge space. Like it's not a 300 cap, it was more like 1,000, you know, and it sold out. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, there is standing like lasting power there. So in that vein, like, you know, it to me belong with the Tiger's Jaw, the Basements of that grouping of humans. Scowl is new, like comparative to them, these names of bands, right? So I see why they're lower on the list. Plus, the other thing is like, didn't Scowl like get added to a couple festivals recently, like
Yeah, they
in the
got added to
last
Warp
minute?
Fest, and they play, you know, they play all like the mega festivals, like the one day, like for 500 people festivals, like people, you know. So I don't, so anyways.
Well, it's the same thing with like Military Gun and like, you know, Turnstile. Like, you know, Turnstile, I believe they played Coachella a couple years
Turnstile's
ago.
huge. Like Turnstile is literally like a 10,000 person band now. Like
Yeah,
Turnstile's
they're
pretty
like
huge.
huge now. They played with Blink 182. I do think that Scowl
Right.
could do w wonders if they're packaged with the right demographic of people to play with. However, they may not be punk anymore if that happens, right? Like,
Yeah.
Turnstile, I see mom and dad's going to see them now,
That's
so.
because Turnstile sucks, man. I don't know why Turnstile is considered hard. I'm not. I don't. People say, oh, they're hardcore or they're Turnstile is not hardcore, and I don't mean that they're not hardcore and therefore they are a band. I'm just saying they're not hardcore. So why are we all saying they're hardcore? They're not.
Well, so I do love Turnstile now. I did not like Turnstile before because I've seen Turnstile a couple of times actually in many, many years. Turnstile was a hardcore band. They had their earlier albums was very like, you know, hardcore, like, you know, heavy type of stuff. Almost like not really beat down, but like if you watch the pit, like they would go, you know. Now they're more singy and
It sound like you too. They sound like you too to me.
they're rocky. They're very rock oriented now, and I love it. I love this. We'll I don't know. I'm actually like hoping Turnstile has a new album soon because
It's been a
why
hot
not?
minute.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
M'more, Scowl, will they
Yes.
become huge? And should they become huge? Or will they stay where they're at? Or will they drop down?
I think they should become huge. I think they are going to become huge. And I do think they're probably going to go in more of like a grungish direction or something. So, like, Sam, I agree with you there. Like, they're going to kind of start shifting away. I think. I can't see them ever completely abandoning like harsh vocals, so I think they're gonna incorporate those at some point or another. But I think they're gonna get really big, and then they're going to be very big for a little bit, and then be very big in certain circles.
Here's what's going to happen.
That's kind of what I think. Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. First of all,
Drop the news. Yes.
Scowl should become big because they're unique, cool. I like how they have politics that they believe in and stand up for. Even though I don't believe in everything they say, I like they stand up for certain things. So I think that's pretty cool. They got a lot of style and they're different. I think the new metal track is bad. I think all the other ones are really good. I think they are going to become huge, but it's not going to happen like everyone thinks it's going to happen. I think everyone's thinking they're going to pop in 7 days when the record comes out. I think it's going to be kind of like a Tyler. I don't know if they're going to become as huge as Tyler the Creator, who was astoundingly big now, but Tyler the Creator was kind of like this buzz guy, and then he was bigger, and then he was bigger, and then I turned around and he's playing stadiums. You know what I mean? And so I think Scal is going to become bigger and bigger, but it's not going to be a meteoric rise. It's going to be a 3 year rise. And I don't know if they're going to be playing stadiums ever, but I think they're going to become a pretty big band. And I think if any band should become a pretty big band, aside from the Dwarves and Melvins, I think Scow is a good pick to do it. So I like Scow. I love their poppy tracks. I love the punk tracks. Don't like, honestly, I like the grunge stuff a lot. I was hoping for like a full-on pop album, but you know, Scout doesn't exist for my amusement. They exist for the amusement of many people. So I was hoping for a pop record, but instead I got a grunge record with some pop influences. And I'll accept that. That'll be cool. I wanted to see them when they were here last week, but I was singing Pink Soap instead, so I couldn't make it over in time. I would have loved to go, but they're playing here like 3 times over the next year, including P Camp
Ooh.
Punksylvania and some other stuff. So yeah, man, Scout. I don't know, man, Scout. Yeah, for a hot minute, I was like mad at Scout, and I don't even know why. Because I used to love Scout, and then I'm like, no, I don't like Scout anymore.
I...
Everyone likes Scout, and so I don't like them. But then you know, they put out that remix, and I fell in love with the band all over again, and I've liked them ever since. So I don't know. I don't know what Sam. Why was I mad at Scout? I did get mad at Scout. Like I guess
I...
because it used to be my thing, and then it was everyone else's thing.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Like.
you hate popular. You
Yeah.
hate if everyone's talking about them. It has to be John talking about
That's
them.
true. That is true. But however though, but I was always talking about The Garden and everyone's like, The Garden sucks, John. And they became huge. And I love that The Garden became huge. And I'm like, see, I was right, you all were wrong. And also, that's how big Scow is going to become. Scow is going to become Garden big, which is very big, but not gigantic.
Well, John also likes to be right all the time.
That's true.
So we're you know, this is stamped now that on, you know, this day, March 2025, John said 3 years.
3 years. Scow is going to become bigger and bigger, and we're all going to turn around and we're like, wow, I did not realize that Scow was that big. So that's cool.
Everyone's gonna have to green hair.
Yes. And the eyebrows too.
Yes.
The full thing. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. What else you guys want to talk about?
I think there's some crazy festival happening soon.
Oh, is that the four Chord Fest?
Yeah, what
Oh,
is
see,
this?
you were impressed by. I was not impressed by that. Four Chord Fest is coming along, and for some reason, Rolling Stone
Oh,
said it's
yes.
in. Rolling Stone did something real weird today, and I don't want to. I wonder, are they writing articles with AI? Because they put out this big article that said Four Chord Fest is playing just near Philadelphia, but it's not playing near Philadelphia. It's playing near Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Which
Oh,
is like 8, 7 hours away. So I feel like that's like a
weird.
mistake AI might make. You know what I mean? It's difficult to believe that a person, I mean, it even says that it's in Pittsburgh. And if you're anywhere on the East Coast, you know the difference between, I mean, Sam was in New York. Sam, you know the difference between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, but this also happened before where there was a festival happening in, oh no, there was a show happening in Camden, New Jersey. And they advertised it as Philadelphia. I was
Well,
like,
that's
that's
very common. I'll tell you
weird.
why.
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly why they do that. There's actually a racial element to that. And so
Oh.
venues will do that. Camden is a very, very bad town. For not necessarily this year, but for numerous years, Camden has been literally the highest murder capital, or not the
Oh.
murder rate in the USA. Camden is
I
it.
lock my car door specifically in Camden.
Well, so the reason they'll say Philadelphia, not Camden, is because Camden has some very dangerous areas, but it also has a beautiful aquarium and Rutgers. And
Yes.
Camden is weird. Like, you'll be walking down the street like Rutgers and Camden, and you're like, wow, I'm in, shway, shway, fancy town, USA. And you go 2 blocks over, it's a war zone. I remember one time, I would never do this now. My friend Matt and I went to see Gwar. It was like the Sounds of Summer Festival. And instead of paying $15 for parking at the time, now it's like 60, which is absurd. But instead of paying $15 for parking, we parked in Camden proper. And on our way back, like, all these people were like following us and harassing us, and like, it was gnarly, man. It was gnarly. So we're like, yeah, we're not doing that again. Like, some guy was carrying like a wooden skiff behind him for some reason. So that's why they say, like,
Oh
that's why they say Philadelphia, not Camden. So anyways, so Rolling Stone magazine made this bizarre mistake. Maybe, and it could have been a mistake. Listen, I write mistakes at Punk News all the time. Anyway, for Core Music Fest, it's gonna be Blink 182, ugh. Jimmy Eat World, ugh. Hot Mulligan, ugh. Bowling for Soup, ugh. State Champs, ugh. Set Your Goals, ugh. Knuckle Puck, ugh. Homegrown, don't know him. Eternal Boy, don't know him. Driveways, don't know him. Charlie Brist, all right. Patent Pending, don't know him. Keep Flying, don't know him. Boy in Blue Stripes. And that's September 13. And the next day is AFI, ugh. Jawbreaker, ugh. Alkaline Trio, ugh. Say Anything, ugh. Face to Face, Sam loves that band. Wonder Years, Drug Church, Sam loves that band. Punchline, Koyo, Death by Romy, Sincere Engineer, Like Roses, Run, and Mallory Run. Sam, are you excited by this? You seem excited by this. Are you excited by this?
You guys can't see me, but I'm doing like a heart thing with my hands and I'm just swaying like a crazy person. Yes.
You
Okay,
going?
so I saw a no, because my job will not allow me because I work
Quit.
for education.
Quit. Quit,
Being
Sam.
retarded
Quit.
is to have a job in New York?
Tell him to go to
Jeez.
hell, Sam. Tell him you gotta go to Four Chord Fest and see Blink 182.
Yeah, well, the band that you don't know, Homegrown, I am so excited about because they're a band of pop punk dudes from California that broke up a million years ago and recently have got back together. They had families and kids and stuff. I guess they're living the pop punk dream now as older individuals. They've been playing shows in California, and I've been hoping, wishing, and trying to manifest them coming close to me. So, homegrown, come to New York because I would love to see you. They put out an album called King of Pop like a million years ago, and I freaking love this album. So, yes, out of this entire lineup of Blink-182, Jimmy Eat World, all of that, I've seen almost everyone I want to see except for Homegrown. I literally sent this to my husband and my friend in California. My husband's like, "Ugh," because we can't do it because of dates, because we're adults. And my friend in California was like, "Are you going? Are we making this happen?" And I'm like,
But I mean, isn't September 13 a Saturday? Sam, you could drive out for the Saturday and drive back Sunday night.
Dude, I work for the education system here. We start school like the second, like the day after, like whatever Labor Day or whatever. So it's usually a hot mess for us in September.
Well, that sucks.
Whoa, that's
And
awful.
we're also going to Vegas for the Best Friends Festival. Yes.
Yikes.
Okay, so if you guys can clone me, like, make a cloning machine in the hovercraft office and clone me for a temporary t spate of time, we could do this, you guys. I just need to be in two places at the same time.
Sam, what if I just take a pink shirt, some jeans, and stuff like hay in there, and then like put ska nails on like the gloves and put them around the hay, and like just put that like in your chair at work, and then was it from Ferris Bueller where it gets like the cassette tape that like moves the hands or
Yes,
something?
yes. Yeah, you'll just move my hands so that it looks like I'm typing, but nothing is happening.
Well,
Yeah.
here's what we're gonna do, Sam. I'm gonna
Yes.
get a beekeeper costume, and I'm gonna go in as Sam and say, no, you can't see me because I'm wearing this beekeeper costume because I got stung by a bunch of bees. I'm here to work, but no one can see me because I'm in my beekeeper costume, and that's what I'll do. I'll do that for you, Sam.
Okay, well, thank you. You just like made my heart so full. Like my grinchy little heart just grew three si sizes right now.
And more, are you going to go to Four Chords Fest or Vegas for Best Friends Fest or Vegas for Punk Rock Bowling, where I will be, even though I now have my club show tickets, my hotel, but I don't have my plane ticket and I don't have my ticket to the festival itself.
Well, she
Oh
might be
no.
going to Palooza. That's also an
Oh.
option.
I'm waiting to hear back for my media accreditation.
What do you
But
mean? You
hopefully.
mean that, why don't they just tell them to give it to you? What's their problem?
There's a process.
There's a process.
Tell them to go to hell. I mean, honestly, I'm serious. Like demand it. Like don't get pushed around by these pricks. You know, like PR people are on a kind of a power trip right now for some reason. It goes back and forth, you know what I mean? And like publications have lost power now that there's social media and everything, which is, but like PR people have started to like say, well, maybe we're calling the shots now. And honestly, I actually had a small interaction with a PR guy today, and he's cool. I
Oh
like him, but
no.
I just slapped him around a little bit because he was getting a little out of hand. And he's like, well, maybe we won't, send you other stuff in the future. If you, I'm like, well, that's too bad, man. Then you can walk.
Oh.
And he turned around right away. And you need to slap these PR
Jeez.
people around and say, listen,
Oh.
give me accreditation, and I'm going to come and review it, and I'm going to do what I want. And if it sucks, I'm going to say it sucks. And if it's cool, I'm going to say it's cool. Man, I'm being silly, but I'm kind of being serious. It's, with these PR people, you kind of got to slap them around. You know what I mean?
I'm
Sam,
not
do you,
dealing with a PR person for
who
this,
are you
so.
dealing with? Oh, Hugo? Definitely slap Hugo around.
No.
Hugo's a
No,
dick.
no,
No,
no, no, no.
Hugo's
It's
not a
not
dick.
Hugo. It's not
I like,
Hugo.
actually, Hugo is a dick. He was a total dick to me once.
Hugo's
No,
fine.
Hugo's
Hugo's
fine. Hugo, listen, Pusa Fest is cool, but Hugo is the worst guest the podcast has ever had. And this is way back in the
Oh,
day.
God.
Like,
Oh, my.
we said, we were like, Hugo, and actually, the deep cut listeners might remember one time we cut like this promo for like some other podcast. No, like someone put out like a Bandcamp like podcast compilation, and they had all the podcasts do like 3 minute clips, and it was Adam
Okay.
White, Ricky, and I, and we were doing, we were like, the Punk News Podcast featuring thrilling interviews. And then I'm like, so you got this cool festivals going on. What act should we see? And then Adam White portraying a certain character be like, the lineup is listed on the thing. They are all there. And that was Hugo. And that, like, I'm like, Hugo, I'm like, what band should we see? And he's like, I'm so busy planning. I don't know what band you should go see. It's like, all right. I'm like, the festival runs like 10 a.m. to like 11 p.m. What should people do on the off hours? And Hugo's like, I'm so busy planning the festival. I don't know what people should do. Like, it was the most dead fish interview ever. And Hugo's a nice guy. I like Hugo, but
Yeah.
he was not a good guest, man. I gotta, I, well, I listen, man. I'm done censoring myself. I'm back on the attack. It's the chaos era of Punk News. I'm saying it
Oh,
like it is. I'm saying it like it is. I'm interviewing Death and
no.
June next week, and then I'm going to re-interview the guy
No.
from the Westboro Baptist Church, and
No.
then who knows what happens. Anyways,
Don't make us the voice of reason.
and then I'm going to do a parody article about a certain musician that got kicked out of a band and get threatened to get sued by that band.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I'm glad we have our legal team now.
Actually, unrelated, and this is some inside baseball, I probably shouldn't say this, is one time we posted an article that we were reposting another article, and this like, I'm just gonna make some like some guy in some band said something, right? And that got reported by Brooklyn Vegan, right? And then we said,
Okay.
oh, according to Brooklyn Vegan, Steve John, this guy said something. And isn't that wacky? It's weird that he said that. That's like not true and totally wacky and bizarre. Why did he say that? We don't know, and that was the article. And then I ran into a guy about 4 years later, and I was thinking in my day job, and a band was thinking of doing something, And so I was talking to the band, and they're like, "Well, you could talk to our attorney." And I'm like, "Your attorney? What am I talking to you for then? You know what I mean? Like, I thought I'm going to be your attorney." So I talked to this guy, and he's like, "You know," he's like, "Oh, you were the attorney for Punk News. You know, we almost sued you once." And I'm like, "First of all, I'm not the attorney for Punk News.
What?
And what do you su-?" And it's like he said, he like he was t- we, like we were on the same side of the table for something that never actually started. And he's like, "Oh yeah, we almost sued you once, man. How's it gone?" And I'm like, I don't know why this guy expected me to be friendly to him when he said he almost sued me. I'm like, it was a bizarre interaction, and it tainted a certain band for me. Anyways, this is a very vague story, I guess. Terrible for the podcast, but it's the unhinged era.
We almost get sued all the time.
And Sam, how many times do you
Yeah.
think we've almost been sued? Probably like 5 times, maybe.
More than
More?
that. I think it's more than that, only because there's a lot of people that takes to social media to yell at us about things.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a whole
They're
other
like,
thing.
true.
I'm gonna be vague here, but the listeners might enjoy this abstract statement. If you've got a beef with someone, that's fine. Or if someone did something shitty, that's fine. But don't bring us into it. We're not the police. It's not our job to root out wrongdoing and prosecute it. Go to the police, and you should. If someone did something illegal, you should go to the police. If someone did something illegal, go to the police. Don't come to us. You like. Don't make us, don't involve us. Well, I mean, we do report on the news. I don't know. Of course, we do report on the news, and that is news. But we can't take sides. We're a news organization,
Yeah.
so we can't take sides, I think. But every news, we sort of do in some things. Like we hate
Well,
Trump. You know?
yeah. Well, don't say that too loud because I'm leaving the country. I need to come back, okay?
That's true. All right. Nah, Trump, man. He's great. Yeah. Look
Don't say that either.
Yeah, true.
Just, I need to come back to this country. If not, Sam B disappears. And doesn't know what happens to her.
Sam,
Nobody
don't even joke
knows.
about that. I could go on if Sam wasn't in this world. I could not go on. I would nuke punknews.org. I would destroy it.
Jesus.
And then I would seppuku myself. I'd be like, it's over. The punk news is over. Whoosh, and that'd be it. This is a weird ending of this episode of the podcast, especially after we had like this kind of legendary punk musician on. Now we're just ranting. And more, anything you want to cover up punk news or talk about, or take me out back behind the barn and shoot me because I'm long with a tooth and I've lost my way and I'm no longer a useful tool.
You're starting to foam at the mouth a
I
little bit.
know.
Wait, I actually think these are the best like episodes where like there's no direction whatsoever. We're just rambling about things. If you guys out there listening to us ramble begs to differ and thinks that I'm crazy, please let us know. Email us at podcast@punknews.org. And tell John how much I'm a crazy person for even recommending that unorganized chaos is reign supreme.
I do like chaos. And more, East Bay Ray is putting out a record called Sketchbook. It's like demos and shit. Should people get it, or has East Bay Ray tainted his name in perpetuity? Or is he finally doing the right thing and doing things not called the Dead Kennedys and his own little thing?
It's good that he has his own name on it and he's not trying to be like, haha, it's a Dead Kennedy thing. When it's not.
Will you buy it, or will it be totally boring?
I'm pretty okay. I'm not gonna buy it. I'm good.
I think he's gonna be. I actually saw East Bay Ray's band. I forget I think it was just called East Bay Ray or something. And it was like him doing some Dead Kennedy stuff and some of his own stuff. And Skip McSkipter was singing, and I actually enjoyed that a lot. And I'm like, this is what East Bay Ray should be. I mean, obviously Dead Kennedys brings in way more money than East Bay Ray, the solo band. But I think from an integrity standpoint, East Bay Ray. Well, from a musical standpoint, East Bay Ray solo is cool. That's what I'm trying to say. And so I think you should do more solo stuff and not Dead Kennedy stuff because no Jello equals no Dead Kennedys.
Agreed.
And more. Closing words, anything else you want to mention before we wrap this episode on up? April Fool's next week. I think we've got a plan of what we're going to do, listeners. Oh, I shouldn't tell them that. Forget that.
No,
Forget I said
no,
that.
no, no. April
nothing's
Fool's,
happening.
we've
Nothing
never
is
heard of it.
happening.
Nope.
Nothing.
It is a regular day at the hovercraft office. We're gonna work on the clone machine and put ectoplasm drink in the cooler because I saw that earlier today. It was like bright green. It's like, that's
Oh, I
cool.
might have a ghost here. My lights were flickering today.
Oh. Oh
Speaking of
no.
ectoplasm.
Oh no, weird happenings. We are getting
Yeah.
into like silly season though.
Yes, very,
Like
very
real
silly.
silly. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
what song should we close tonight's episode with? Should we play Scout, or do we talk about Scout too much? Should we play Scout, or do we talk about them too much? Or should we do something more obscure? Should we do a Sam band? What should we do? No, actually, you
Well,
know what? I'm gonna take a power move here. Let's play this dude from Ukraine's single. How about that? Let's do that.
sure,
do it.
So this is D Lav from the Ukraine, who's being bombed right now, singing about being bombed in Ukraine, and we will see you next week.
Hey fellas, remember how I said the music was kind of faceless and spineless this time around? So I think it's a great time to fix that.
Please forgive me, God! Please forgive me, God! Please forgive me, God! I'm not an idiot! But this magic makes me feel sick! Cause for all these years, say something and kiss! Every time they say, we are reality! Born in Georgia, then in Syria, concentration camps in Siberia, and a huge godless, made by communists! But Ukraine is more than ready to resist.
Russia is done in my day.
It's done in my day. And I don't know why children have to die. The Russian world says commit a crime and a lie. And the world war leaders of the right repeat. Let's stop the stupid Russian terrorists. Well, listen, they fall. Always too much more than politicians could have done before. Always said too much. Say finish your my French and Dutch.
Russo Messia is gone in my head.
It's gone in my head.
She's a beautiful woman of the size, but the main thing is to realize
it's a well-centered culture. So never, never, never trust Russia.
Fears will return to reality. Ukrainians still criminal.
We'll see the break.
Hey fellas, remember how I said the music was kind of faceless and spineless this time around? So I think it's a great time to fix that.
Please forgive me, God! Please forgive me, God! Please forgive me, God! I'm not an idiot! I'm just